This is Panel by Panel, a show designed specifically to help you make sense of the decades of continuity surrounding your favorite comic events. Hosted by Uncle George Doro, who picked up his first comic book from the spinning rack at a corner convenience store, and Epic Boss McFall, who gets his comics online and binges via graphic novel and trade paperback. This week, it's the overview episode for the Marvel Comics event, Civil War.
And welcome to Panel by Panel, the story arc awesomeness that we bring to you. If you want in-depth comic coverage of what's going on right now, that's some other shows that we're going to find for the Giant Size Team-Up Network. This show is all story arcs all the time. I'm Charles McFall. That is Uncle George Doro.
Greetings, everyone. Welcome to the show.
And we like to tackle completed storylines. And actually, I'm actually a little excited. We're Spider-Verse just hit the entirety of Spider-Verse just hit the Marvel Unlimited. So we're going to be tackling that soon. But the idea is we're going to take start to finish. Dark Phoenix is a great example. Our first episode, we took the start of the Dark Phoenix and read the entire storyline to the established end of that first story arc and talked in depth about what it meant for the Marvel Universe. And that's what you're going to get more of today. Today we're tackling a really, really big one, one that Marvel has embraced and promoted. It's one of the first mainstream promoted story arcs that I noticed. This is back in 2004, I think it was. I probably have my dates wrong. And you know what? Why don't I look at the Wikipedia? 2006. In 2006. But it's Civil War. And Marvel has embraced it so much that the next Captain America that comes out is based off of this story arc. Of course, it's called Captain America Civil War. Now, George, you tackle this episode. We're going to do this in two episodes. The first episode is we do the overview, and then the second episode is spoilers. So, George, you really tackled the main seven stories in this arc. What's the overview of Civil War?
Civil War starts off, let me backtrack a bit. Marvel has been setting up a lot of the background to this for quite some time. I think Brian Michael Bendis was a main driving force behind it. He wanted to do some really sweeping stories that affect the entire Marvel Universe.
Yes. I remember, I think MCU Cast actually talked about an interview that he did where he wanted to do a big multi-issue affecting the universe story arc, and said the keeping track of that was such a pain to keep all that straight.
And so one of the starting storylines he did was Avengers Disassembled. And that eventually led into this. He also came up with the idea of the Illuminati, which were Richards and Tony Stark,
Doctor Strange,
Namor,
and Xavier, right?
And Professor X, right? Yeah. And they were kind of the power behind the superpowers in the Marvel Universe. And one of the things that they decided to do was to shoot the Hulk into space after he destroyed Las Vegas. Or at least a large chunk of it. And
which is why the Hulk is not a part of Civil War.
Right. So with the Hulk's destruction and the battle that Rage trying to stop him, there was already a growing sentiment of anti-superheroes amongst the citizenship of the U.S. in the Marvel Universe. And the real flashpoint that sets off Civil War is when the New Warriors, a group of young heroes who had developed a reality TV series that followed their exploits, foolhardily tracked down some villains who were holed up in a house that they'd been sharing, and attacked them, leading to Nitro, whose power is to explode himself and then reassemble later, leading to a point where he explodes himself outside an elementary school. And there are, I believe they kept saying, 400 deaths because of that. And then so it just caused the citizenry to voice their outrage to the government. And the government had to act by proposing the Superhero Registration Act, which would require every superhero to reveal themselves to the government, to undergo proper training, and to act as agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. So half of the superhero population in the MU think, well, I guess it makes sense. It's probably a good idea for us to do that. The other half view it as a major infringement on their civil liberties. So,
including Captain America.
Led by Captain America. And you have Tony Stark on the pro-registration side. And, of course, they're not just going to sit down at a table and talk. There are going to be huge battles and S.H.I.E.L.D. agents trying to track down and capture unregistered superhumans, etc.
Right. Now, going back to your setup, you talked about Avengers Disassemble, but something they referenced a lot in Civil War, which will not be referenced in the movie, is House of M, that whole storyline where Scarlet Witch, I don't remember the events leading up to it, but I know the Scarlet Witch kind of lost her mind, mm-hmm. and essentially in her chaotic magic and her psychotic break, I guess, as it were, she demutinized all mutants and gave every human being superpowers in the world. And it was this weird utopia. She created this whole new world for a brief period of time that once that illusion was broken and things were somewhat restored, everybody remembered it, remembered that it happened. Yeah. So that added, you know, all this stuff adds up, but they absolutely reference House of M mm-hmm. a lot in Civil War.
Yeah.
Which I recommend you read before, and maybe we should cover that at some point. It's a very short
run. Oh, yes, I hope so.
So actually we should just take these story arcs that's listed as the lead up to this and cover them all. That'd be easy. Now, I thought for some reason, it does list Silent War, but I thought the Skrull invasion, secret invasion, led up to this, but it's not listed on the wiki as part of the storylines that led up to Civil War.
No, secret invasion actually came out a year or two later.
Did it? Okay.
Yeah. So Civil War led into, I think it was Siege, where Norman Osborn became director.
Yes, yes, the Dark Avengers.
And then after that, the next major crossover event was Secret Invasion.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, that Siege was bad. I read that as fast as I could when I got the cover-to-cover version.
Yeah.
So there's 7 issues in this, or the core. We always talk about the core of the story. Of course, there are, according to the Marvel app. Now, here's one time I want to speak negatively about the Marvel Unlimited app. When I go in to browse, right, that's how we pick our story arcs. We go in the browse, we pick events, which is a great category, right? Because then you just list it by Avengers Disassembled or House of M or Civil War.
Yes.
And it's so easy to find. And I do that. I pick Civil War. We specifically chose to talk about it now so that it'd be out, and we'll probably re-air it again right before the movie comes out. But it'll be out for a while before the movie. But that's why I went in and tackled it, because it's on people's minds. And I'm going through and it lists them from number one of, and presumably this is how you should read it, right? Number one through 99. There are 99 individual books that are encompassed in this crossover storyline.
Right, either directly affecting the storyline or tangentially.
Right. My negative issue with them is I want to read this chronologically, okay? And I get if, you know, The Amazing Spider-Man came out on week one of September of whatever for that month, and then the new Avengers or the Young Avengers, I forget which Avengers it was in there, maybe it's the Young Avengers, came out the next week, and it crossed over some. I get that, but there were some, when I read from number one through 99 directly, there would be 4 or 5 books in order, and then one would jump back to like before the fifth one.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of, my mind can handle that. I can keep everything in order, but it just bugs me a little bit. It's like, wait a minute, if you're going to order these, put them in order that makes sense. This didn't make, I didn't see a storyline sense. I didn't see, well, well, it may have happened earlier, but it really relates to what's about to happen next. I didn't see any of that. But, you know, that's my one little nitpick over all that. I was able to read 99 books to get this whole thing captured. It's very, very interesting. So one of the big things I noticed that was interesting is part of the Illuminati, Hank Pym is not a part of the Illuminati. And I thought that was very real world esque, as in like they would have an oversight. We already have two smart guys. We have Tony Stark and we have Reed Richards. Why do we need Hank Pym? But yet Hank Pym has repeatedly come out, because later he comes out in the Secret War, and then there's something else where he's been kind of the voice of opposition when you wouldn't expect him to be. And I thought that was a very telling, well-written moment, kind of tangentially, as you say, leading into Civil War. The Illuminati, when did they get formed? Do you know roughly the story arc? Because obviously before the Civil War, or was it only for this story arc were they formed? It's a little before, because Hulk was not dealt with in this particular story arc, so it had to be a little before, right?
Yeah, the idea of the Illuminati was presented to the readership shortly after the time of Avengers Disassembled, if I'm not mistaken. Okay. But this is a classic example of a retcon. The story, the first issue of the Illuminati takes place right after the Skrull Kree War, which is 1970, give or take a year, and it showed that the six of them decided to unite to solve the problem of the Skrulls' invasion. So they decided unilaterally and covertly to take the war back to the Skrulls. And just really they kick the Skrulls' asses. The idea was, you know, you are never going to invade us again because this is what we can do to you.
Yeah.
And they also tackled some other major issues affecting the Marvel Universe. And it was a case of they had a lot of power. And the point of the story was, so do you think that these guys are losing sight of what it means to be a hero and instead are using their power to shape things, which may or may not be the right way to shape things in the universe?
Yeah. They never liked each other, which was very interesting. You know, Namor doesn't like anybody, but him being on it, there was always to me, there was this feeling that we're here because we need to be here, because we're the only people in the world who can save the world.
Right.
And it's scary. And I think this whole story arc kind of illustrates this very scary thinking when you allow yourself as a person, much less a super being, to think that way.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of just a Civil War. So it does start off with the explosion, which as weird as this might sound, I really, really, really hope they deal with that in the movie. I hope that they have that kind of cataclysmic event, that tragedy, they'll just open the movie, and that most of the movie public will not see it coming.
Yeah.
Because it'll give you, because when you read the book, you don't see it coming.
Right.
You know, for the first time. I guess that's a spoiler. I don't know. I don't think, I mean, it's in the first three pages, so it's really not a spoiler. You need to know this.
Yeah. I actually wasn't planning on picking it up, but in one of my comics shop visits, I got a free preview of upcoming Marvel productions, and they had an 8-page preview of Civil War, and it was the first 8 pages of the first issue. And yeah, I did not see that coming. And when it happened, I thought, whoa, this might be an interesting series to read. So I did pick it up at that time.
You know, I don't remember what I was playing or watching at the time when Civil War came out, but it just kept coming across my radar. It kept getting promoted. It kept being heralded as one of the largest and best story arcs of all time.
Mm-hmm.
So I finally hunted it down. It probably a good year after it ended, I hunted it down to the library. It finally made its way to the local library where I could get my hands on just a complete set and read through it. So that's how I did it. But I absolutely hunted it because I'd seen the advertisements and seen the previews. So it was very cool.
Yeah, and there are two huge events that take place in the course of the 99 books that cover it that made the mainstream media. So got a lot of real world exposure too.
Yeah. So here's the real quick overview, because I think we're ready to get into spoilers. So let's give the real quick overview. You see that Tony Stark is actually in Congress at the very, very beginning fighting the Registration Act. And then this thing happens. The Illuminati make their decision. Tony believes that it's inevitable, that the act is inevitable, and he's got to get out in front of it. So he becomes the face of the Registration Act. Now, everybody knows who Tony Stark is, so he has to go and recruit. We'll wait for the spoilers, but Spider-Man becomes a big part of it. Hank Pym becomes a big part of it. Reed Richards. There's a lot of big names that you would see coming and some that you wouldn't. But the idea is you register your identity as a superhero secretly, right? Which that becomes a big thing. But you register it secretly. You automatically work for the government, which is instant. It's not slavery. What is it when they – conscription, right?
Conscription.
Yeah, it's like conscription. It's like because you register, you now work for the government. We tell you what to do. You get – They of course promoted it as, hey, now you have steady income, you've got benefits, you're a government, you know, agent, this and that and the other. But it really was, you have to do what we say, and it was weird that way. SHIELD was handled very well, of course. Before this, Nick Fury is missing in action. I don't remember exact storyline that led up to it, but he's not around. Maria Hill's running SHIELD. She is just, I do love the TV show Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but it is not S.H.I.E.L.D. from the comics. S.H.I.E.L.D. from the comics is very military, very much this is what we have to do. Now, Nick Fury is definitely the Nick Fury from the comics, but he was the one who always understood we have to work with the superheroes. It's a team thing. It's a family thing. They're people too.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, he's been a compatriot of Captain America and Benjamin Grimm and Reed Richards and a few others since World War II. Of course, that's kind of been forgotten since that would make them impossibly long-lived.
At one point, they retconned that with, I remember this scene, and it was in the barbershop, and I think it was some retelling of Captain America coming, you know, back from the ice or whatever, mm-hmm. and Nick Fury takes him to this old barbershop where Nick Fury's dad had served in World War II mm-hmm. with Captain America. So they retconned that a little bit.
Yeah.
There. So, but with him gone, it's SHIELD is straight military. And they are like, we're the government, we're in control. And they are hunting heroes.
Yeah.
Captain America, which you actually kind of would think he's a soldier, right? He follows orders. He says, no, this is not freedom. This is exactly like what the Nazis were doing. I mean, he makes some pretty strong allegations. Mm-hmm. Storytelling with that, and it's just it becomes Tony versus Cap, and of course there are some people like Falcon fall with Cap, and you see this back and forth, but what's the most interesting is the people who are in between following those stories mm-hmm. becomes interesting. You do end up with two sets of armies, super armies, essentially the out in public registered legal superheroes and Captain's Rogues, who are not necessarily fighting Tony. They're just hiding underground, but they're still doing their superhero jobs and showing up and saving lives and then trying to run for cover and fight only when they have to.
Right.
When stuff's coming around.
Because when they go to do their duty, SHIELD intervenes and tries to capture them.
Every single time.
Yeah.
We'll talk about it next, but there in the next episode, but there's a great showdown between Cap and Spider-Man. That's interesting. There's an epic showdown between Iron Man and Spider-Man, or Iron Man and Captain America, and actually Iron Man and Spider-Man mm-hmm. at one point. It's really cool. So it moves along, and things go the way you think they go. Everything escalates until you start seeing the tragedies of war. Mm-hmm. And start seeing you've forgotten what it is that you're, why it is you do what you do. And I guess we'll save the rest for the spoilers. Is there anything else you want to throw in for the overview before we jump into spoilers on the next episode?
Well, I can say that this Civil War is my favorite storyline from Marvel in the 21st century, and maybe even going back to around 1990. I love that they came up with this idea, which really isn't a new idea, because prior to Civil War, it was covered in Watchmen and in the Squadron Supreme, and even in the Incredibles movie. Superheroes coming under government control, and how it affects them, how it affects what they try to achieve. But it's really a great philosophical and political and emotional debate, because they present so many pros and cons on both sides that the tagline for the whole series is, which side are you on? It wasn't just a clever tagline. It really made the reader think, wow, which side do I come down on? Because each side has so many valid points, but there are so many things that they're doing wrong on both sides. So what is the right way to go with this?
And yeah.
And Mark Millar, I think, is just really very well-written stories that he came out with, really understanding each of the characters. Back when I was reading a lot more religiously than in the past 15 years, Jim Shooter, the former editor-in-chief of the Marvel, prided himself as being somebody who understood all the characters. And so he wrote the first Secret Wars, which I thought just had really pedestrian dialogue. And like, you know, this was his idea of characterization. I, Mr. Fantastic, will use my incredible stretching ability and while you, Iron Man, it's so on, like,
yeah,
really stilted dialogue. And
yeah,
and this the job that Mark Millar done is just stellar. And then the art, Steve McNiven, just absolutely beautiful.
Yeah.
This is my idea of superhero comic art. It's clean, it's vibrant, and it's not just that he drew some fantastic battle pages, but even the quiet moments really struck me. For instance, there's a scene in the second issue where it's almost midnight, before the day that the Registration Act is going to go into effect.
Yeah.
And Tony Stark is in Stark Tower in his penthouse with Happy Hogan, and they're just discussing the impending enactment of the Registration Act. And there's a one panel there that I think is just really powerful, and it's not an action-packed. It's just Tony Stark with his head back on his sofa. His fist is just kind of pressed up against the window. And he says, "Oh God, please let us be doing the right thing here." And just the way that Steve McNiven drew it, you can feel his anguish, his apprehension, his hope that this is going to turn out better, when he knows in his heart that this is going to be a really tough uphill battle.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's not even sure he's doing the right thing.
Yeah.
And that was definitely amazing. That was definitely an amazing scene. And you mentioned the art real quick. I want to throw out, there's one of the side stories is the Wolverine books that tie in. And that story is very, very dark. We'll deal with it a little bit in the next issue, in the next episode. We should call our episodes issues. We'll deal with it in the next issue.
Okay.
But the way it was drawn is very light and childlike and upbeat. And I thought it was a very interesting offset to this dark storyline where they really bring out Wolverine the way I like to see him, but draw it in this very bubblegummy pop style art. And I think that was a conscious decision. I thought it was an interesting twist to it, because anybody can draw dark, right? You can do Punisher and it's super dark all day long. But to do this darkness, also at the same time, you're going, wait a minute, this is kind of, my eyes are saying this is fun and poppy, but what I'm reading is totally not that.
So this is the storyline where Wolverine tracks down Nitro, correct?
Yes, that one. Yeah.
I think the artist on that is Hector Ramos, and he's an excellent cartoonist. I do not enjoy his work on superhero stories.
I wasn't a fan of it, but I liked the dichotomy that it brought to that particular line.
It's just too distorted for my tastes.
Yeah, it was cartoony is absolutely the word to use there. So, all right, that's going to be it for this episode. Hopefully we got you interested in Civil War. Go read it. You've got about 2 weeks until the next episode comes out. Of course, if you pass the deadline, then you've got the next episode ready for you. So go read it and then come back and listen to the next episode. It's going to be full of spoilers. And George has got notes. I've got notes. It's going to be deep. One recommendation I would love to give here. If you enjoy this kind of thing where it's real world based, it's politically based, It's this break from everyday superhero saving the world to here's how it affects people. I think you'd like another Brian Michael Bendis book that Image Comics put out in 2000 to 2004, so 2 years before this came out, called Powers.
It's not Image, it's Icon, which was an adult imprint of Marvel.
Parvus Icon no, I
take
imprint.
That back.
Yes.
Take that back. Both companies did publish those.
It went from Image Comics from 2000 to 2004, then 2004 it went to Marvel.
Right.
As far as the Icon imprint. But yeah, Powers is a police procedural about how do cops act and solve crimes in a world full of superheroes.
Yes, highly.
And how do you police the superheroes? Mm-hmm. So it's really cool. So if you like that kind of thing, you should check that out. All right. Well, you can find us on giantsizeteamup.com. At the time of this recording, that is coming soon. But by the time we really get this out there, you should find us. We're part of the Giant Size Team Up Network. We have all kind of cool friends from the Helicarrier, Marvel Cinematic Universe, DC On Screen, lots of other stuff going on over there. So check us out. Check out all the shows and subscribe and have lots of fun. Until then, I'm Charles McFall. That's George Doro, and we're going to be back to reading.